Good morning. I've been singing hymnology to you some of these weeks, and I would think probably the hymn that I would open up with today, knowing what's on my pages in front of me, would be "Put Me In, Coach, I'm Ready to Play Today." I don't think it's a hymn, but it ought to be right now. He says he's looking for laborers, as Linda said just a minute ago right now. I've been talking to you. This is the third lesson, the third message on regarding the things up ahead. And people they're worried about what's up ahead. They don't know what is around the next bend in life right now. And it is amazing. And in this level, I've been a coach, and here's the line I wrote. I've been waving, I've been warning, but I've been coaching at the same time right now. It is not on my own mind. It is not on my own power. I'm using the words of Paul. Paul is our New Testament coach. He spent his life, his ministry doing the same thing, waving, warning, coaching, equipping, even with all of his challenges, even with all of his hardships, even with the attacks against him. He was emboldened even more when the attack came, and he was enabled by the Holy Spirit. And plus, the dude just had some fortitude, I'll tell you that. You can talk about the power of God and things like that, but you got to make a decision. I'm going to hook my wagon to this. This is the thing that's going to pull me right now. That's what he did. And why did he do it? He didn't do it to look forward to the torture, to the pain. He did it because he knew what was ahead. So I'm here to coach you. Are you ready? Remember the starting point last week I told you? I actually used the example of Linda in some of the coaching that she does periodically. It's been helping people in some areas. Tyler's a certified NASM coach and is getting people and dealing with them and working with them, things like that. Tyler, how many marathons have you done, Tyler? Well, don't correct me, right? When I'm up here doing this, act like everything I'm saying is right. And here's what you do. Yeah, Dad, that's where you are right, man. I like that. You don't do that. That's what you know. He listens to you too much. Yeah, right. Yeah. You've done half marathons. How many races have you done? 30, 20, or 30? 29. All right. Okay. He's going to tell you the truth there right now. And you've done some half marathons and things like that. How many of you know you just don't wake up one day and say, I got a hankering to do a marathon today, and you go grab your wingtip shoes out the closet and your little black socks, and you start running down the road there. They're going to be putting the paddles on you on the side of the street. Boom, because you got to work up to that. You just can't do that, and that's what this is all about. That's what I'm doing every week. We're doing this strength training. I told you, and they're both going to tell you that you got to commit to the process if you want to see the progress. That's basic. That's basic in anything. That's the way Paul was. He committed to the whole thing. And basically, what a coach is saying and what he's saying and what she says, what Paul is saying, what I'm trying to tell you today, if you will commit to this, these are the results you can expect to see. Does that make sense? This is what you can expect to see in this point of time. It's realistic. But if you'll stay diligent with it, you can see progress. Today, my coaching continues. There is great value in the words that I'm giving you right now. But the question is, even with the value of the words, are we paying attention to the signs that are up ahead? This is a real big thing. Have you ever seen those people that are just walking through life? You know? Just walking through life, just whatever happens. And, you know, que sera, sera, whatever. That will get you in trouble. That'll get you in a ditch. You'll wake up, as my grandma used to say, you'll wake up dead one day if that's the thing that you believe. But there's got to be a strong, strong word. I encourage you to pay attention. Pay attention to the signs all around you. The scripture in the coaching, whether out of the mouth of Jesus or whether it's out of the mouth of Paul, pay attention to the signs that you see. He actually says, when you see these signs, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. We're getting faster and faster in the fulfillment of the things that we have read for so many years. It's getting faster. It's getting faster. You don't think it's getting faster? Think about where you were in 1970. Think where your life was in even some of your lives in 2000, maybe your lives even in 2004, and then 05 came, and we all faced a big trial. Things are changing more and more right now. More and more right now, they're changing. Somebody asked me the other night, how are they getting away with all of this? How are they getting away? Have you ever said that? They're getting away with it because they believe in this dogma, and the scripture says the God of this world has blinded their eyes. It's incumbent, though, in your training process that you're paying attention to what is ahead. Don't keep your head in the sand, but don't be consumed, okay, by what you see. We must be girded. We must be grounded, our coach said, in the word right now. God's word is not shaken. God's word does not adapt to the times. We must adapt. We must change. We must, you know what they call it in leadership? It's called the buy-in. It's called the buy-in, that concept. In other words, if I'm talking about something, you're going, yes, but there comes a point when you really want to get with it and you are buying into it. You're investing in the buy-in. And it's incumbent. God's not going to change. He wants us to turn. He wants us to change. He wants us to make a difference. Heard the story of the mean little kid. He picked up a cat one day, and he was holding the cat real, real tight, and he was rubbing its fur the back way like that, and the cat was screaming. He was holding, And his mom says, stop doing that. You're rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. And he said, tell the cat to turn around then. It's incumbent upon us to turn around. What's the coach asking me to do? We're not following trends. We're looking for the signs that are balanced through the word of God. Leonard Sweet, educator and writer, says it this way. Trends are signs to be read, not values to be respected or revered. We must start with the truth, not with the trends. Thank you, good night. We must start with the truth, not the trends. The truth, not the trends. And today in our world, the trends are winning. The trends are ahead. This word will coach you with regards to truth. It deals directly with our walk. Remember last week I made the, people say, well, as long as you believe something, that's a very harmful thing. That's one of the dumbest things. He just got a good heart. We're just going to believe. 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 I had a guy one time come to me, and he said, I'm getting married. I said, really? Really? So I met this girl. So we're going to get married. And he said, let's get married. And he was all excited. And it was that sound, you've heard it. And he said, and all of a sudden the next day I walked out and the birds were singing. He said, the birds were really singing. It was beautiful. And I went, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, wake up. Wake up. Don't follow just the trends. Follow the truth. I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to lay it out for you. Oh, just long as you believe something, long as it feels warm and fuzzy. No, theology has consequences. Theology has consequences. What you believe makes a big difference. That's why the word tells us to reach to believers. We're supposed to encourage one another, strengthen one another. There's a real failure of that in the body today, right now. But find somebody you can, you don't understand, I'm overwhelmed with the things I'm going through. Yeah, but the very thing you need is what you need to be giving out if I understand what this word says. Have you found some, why don't you make it a goal tomorrow to encourage one person? The next day, do another one. Don't do a bunch. Do another one. You'd be amazed. You'd be amazed what happens. And you start encouraged. Some of you walk in, you're looking down the whole time. Lift your face. Lift your eyes. Walk in there just flat-footed and say, good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. Let's get to work and outwork everybody else while you're doing it. Be encouraged today. I'm coaching you. I'm trying to get you somewhere. Because I'm not too bright either, Roy. But I think I know what lies ahead on many levels, okay? I don't know the final word. So you want to know what I believe? You want to know what we believe? Stand up. This is what I believe. This is what we believe. Hold it up high in your hands and say it with me, Mary Alice. Let's do it. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And one more line today. This word will tell you what lies ahead. This word will tell you what lies ahead. So just hold it tight. This word will tell you what lies ahead. Lord, I thank you for this word today. Lord, this is not just a mere optimism. This is not my personality of an outlook. No, this is my core belief. This word is wise for each of us today. Lord, lead us with this word. Let us commit to the process in our core. And the progress will be seen and experienced. And everybody said, be seated. This is not just some optimism, mind over matter. I do believe in a positive confession. I really do believe that. I'm be careful what comes out of your mouth. Your ears hear you. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. But it's not just an outlook. Some people have different outlooks like that. So that's how people are made up. But work on when these things, there's no denial. There's no denial in me. I've seen these people say, oh, I'm not sick, and their arm's hanging by one bone, or you like that. Yeah, you're sick. You need to go to the doctor right now. And God, that doctor and God, Dr. God, are going to work on you. And even when we can't see, you just commit to the process of the healing, and we see it right now. Dan Rockwell is a great coach. He's actually a leadership coach for businesses, but he's a godly man. He said, pessimists define problems. Leaders believe this could be my finest hour. And that's a decision. Anybody gets a different shake a lot of times. It's a decision. What are we going to do with it? I heard the story told so many years ago of the two guys that were shoe salesmen, and they were sent to a foreign country, and they were out. They found themselves way out in a jungle one day, and one of them wrote back, and he said, "I'm coming home. These people don't even wear shoes. There's no audience for this. They don't even, I'm coming home." The other one said, "I'm staying. They all need shoes." And it was a decision at that point in time. What am I going to do? Start out with the first goal. What should be your first goal? It should be my goal, our goal. That goal should be to finish well. To finish well. Okay? I want you to be proud of me. I don't mean that in an arrogant sense. I want him to be proud of me. I want her to be proud of me. I've gotten letters all kind. Doesn't really bother me, but if one of them say something, you think of that. That's the way we ought to feel with the Savior. I'm not completely in the dark about what's going on. I'm not even completely in the dark of what I know is going to happen. I don't know everything, though, and I know this. Something good is up ahead. So my coach wrote this in Colossians 1, verse 9. He said, for this reason, by the way, there is always a reason. I'm not saying you're going to know the reason. You will be probably at the know in part and see in part point in your walk. There's always a reason. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Good coach takes interest in the pupil, in the student, in the athlete that he's working with. I do not cease to pray for you. You want to start this walk? Find somebody that you can pray for. Find somebody on your prayer list that you're going to intercede for. And to ask when in his prayer that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Notice he put the words knowledge there, but he coupled it with the concept of wisdom. And this is part of our process, knowing at what point the knowledge and the wisdom come together to create a spiritual understanding. So what is the final objective? What is, I talk about to be pleased, or the final objective, and this is for you, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Can you imagine that? That you can actually walk in a way that the God of creation is pleased with you. She was reading something in the car today, and another idea came in, and I may develop it at some time or another. And she was talking about what Jesus did for us and how we forget it. You know, we have no problem talking about the divine part of who Jesus was. But I think sometimes you need to spend a little more time about the human side there. The emotions, the feelings, the weariness. She said, in 3.5 years, you think he ever got any rest? I don't think so. He needed rest. He was a man. He was hungry in the Bible. He was sleepy in the Bible. He actually had to get away from all the crazy people at times in the Bible. He was human. And I'll say even next week, he was so human that when his divine thing was fighting the human thing and he was hanging on a cross with his whole self exposed to the world, one of the first things he said, take care of my mama. We don't spend enough time thanking him for that human thing that was manifested for us. That he loved us that much. I wouldn't do that for you. You wouldn't do it for me. If that isn't love, the ocean is dry. That you would walk pleasing of the walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. And then not just sitting on the bus, on the bench, waiting for the bus to pick you up to go to heaven, but being fruitful. That's the process as you're walking. To be fruitful in every good work, and not just doing it, but progress, increasing in the knowledge of God. I'm confident that this verse is one of the boxes on God's checklist that he'll check for all of us. Did were we fruitful in our good works? Did we grow? Did we just have now I lay me down to sleep? Or John 3:16, is that all we have in our heart? Or is there a deep abiding thing inside of us that's growing inside of us? And we can look back and say, Lord, thank God you did this for me and you're growing in those. I'm confident that this is on the checklist. I hate to tell you this, God's grading. You know, Roy thinks those seminary professors were tough. God's got a red pen too. Y'all remember report card day? Whatever you're going through right now is not it. There's going to be a real big report card day when this is over. I got to tell you. And it will be bigger than any report card that you ever brought home. How many of you report? I haven't gotten a report card in years and years, but I can still think back and I get the shivers sometimes. I had the one where they wrote on the report cards and you had to bring that one back, and the one you brought home was the same one they used every year for you. That's the report card I got. And I've told you before, there were, and then they've got these character traits that they check on their check mark. Oh Lord, the character traits, you know. And it was just, you know. Well, I got a 69.9, and I got the 70 there. But the character, this through my entire grammar school, until they didn't check character things anymore. One box, every report card. Efforts erratic. That means I was either in the White House or the outhouse. You know what I mean? I was hot, I was cold, I was up, I was down, I was engaged, or I was out looking out the window there, or I was dreaming, I was leaning in, yeah, that's right, and other times they look at me and nobody's home, right, you know, and I'm wondering, why do I have to be here? But, so I'm trying to coach you right now, stay steady, grow in the word. A sports coach will do that, an athletic coach, a strength coach, a health coach, they have birth coaches right now. They have birthing coaches, people that help ladies, and they teach them how to do all the breathing, and they encourage them and go through all those things. There are business coaches now. They're everywhere now. But be very careful, because a lot of people who fail in business have nothing else to do, and then they call themselves a business coach, and they do that right now. That happens a whole lot. That's like the critics on Broadway. They couldn't dance. They couldn't sing. They couldn't write, so they became a critic. And that is always one of those things there. There are investment coaches. Be beware of that. You see so many scams. Find somebody. Find somebody. You know, I don't want to hear this anymore. If you'd have put $1,000 in this in 40 years ago, you'd have this today. I didn't have $1,000 40 years ago. I don't need those stories. Tell me what we can do now. There are life coaches. I've had to spend and actually save my voice coaches that have saved my life when I was actually in hospital situations and I couldn't speak and Linda was with me and I had to go through all kind of therapy and voice and exercises. But what about a word coach? What about a word coach? I've come to encourage you. Come to cheer you on. I'm a cheerleader. I'm a coach. I will lovingly prod you. A good coach is going to know when to push and know when to pull. A good coach, you look at certain players. I knew with choir and different things like that, there were some people you had to just go, no, don't do that. There were others, you might want to think of this. And others, hey, it's okay. You need to. That's when you understand the landscape. That is the wisdom and the knowledge at the very same time there. I've said it before, but I remember many years ago, I had a man in my office and he was crying. He was going through a lot of difficult things. He was a married man. He was probably in his middle to late 40s by this time. And he was sitting on the couch in my office and he was talking and all of a sudden we just started talking and this thing came out of him and he started talking about a coach that he had when he was in high school. And the abusive words that he said. And time had passed, but it stuck and all of us can have that here. I'm a little church boy. And when you're put in those situations for the first time and they knew who you are and they're questioning your parentage, you're learning things real fast and you got to make a decision. Are you going to believe that? Or are you going to press through and you're going to do this? It's so important. So important who's speaking to you. Who's talking into you? You'll remember it for the rest of your life. Be very, very careful. I remember in the late 60s, Jerry Kramer, the great guard of the Green Bay Packers, number 64, he made that famous block in the Ice Bowl so that Bart Starr could score. He's in that picture forever. He wrote a book, one of the first sports book called Instant Replay. Fabulous book in its day. What was really great about Instant Replay is that I was able over a 3-year school period to do 4 book reports on Instant Replay from the same book. And that really helped me out right there. So I knew the book well. I had a new teacher come in one time and then I had 2 other classes and I got 3 book reports out of that. And it was God blessed my heart with Instant Replay. He talked about Vince Lombardi. By the way, the Vince Lombardi style would not work today. You know, when the player is making 10 times more than the coach, the motivation is a little bit different there. But Jerry Kramer said it this way. He said, talking about the motivation of Coach Lombardi, he said, Vince Lombardi, he treated us all the same like dogs. Well, you can't treat everybody the same. You need wisdom. You know, when you manage people, they're different. Their personalities are different. And we are different. And do you think our coach knows? I think he knows. And when we feel those things, it's a lean in, put me in, coach. I want to encourage you right now. Who's coaching you? We remember the good words, but we really remember the not so good words. It's important during a time when you're struggling and you're looking to be encouraged. You need to distance yourselves from people and environments that just want to use you, that lie to you, that would put you down or disrespect you. Who's speaking into you right now? A good coach corrects as he coaches. The word of God is there. I love you. Come on, you can do this. I'm praying about you. You can stay in this word right now. Sometimes we must hear the correction word. And I do know this from experience. We know the difference between a corrective, loving word and a manipulation or an abusive word. You won't hear that in God's word. You won't hear that in God's word. When that uneasiness comes, let that be something you stop and recognize the source of it, but realize that God knows. A good coach picks the good things to build on. You see somebody and they're trying something, and it might not, with your kid right there, he draws some of those things, and you just want to look like Picasso, you know, and they've got all, and oh, that's beautiful. But later on, if they really want to learn how to draw, you say, now you might want to take this and you might want to try it this way. You might want to experience this way. The coach sets the good example, and he's careful not to be abusive, to break a spirit. Now, there are things that need to be broken in us. That is repentance, where we fall on the rock and we are broken. But in our moving on process, somebody that's constantly trying to put you down or break you down, or a word, that's not a God word. You be encouraged right now. I saw this bumper sticker. Linda thought it was cute. It said, I love you just the way you are, but I do have a few suggestions. A good coach will cast vision. A good coach knows when to hug. A good coach makes a mark. He doesn't leave a mark. And that's what this word is. It'll make a mark in our lives. It's not going to leave a scar. It's not going to make a mark. And now, in order to prepare us for the things up ahead, the master coach kicked in a little deeper. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, doesn't that make you feel good? That is a warm opening. That's a warm welcome there. He's showing his heart, but he's getting ready to drop some heavy theology on him. He said, always in every prayer of mine, I make requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I mean, he's loving on him. He's loving on him. I hope you feel that when you walk in here. He's loving on him. That's what we're trying. Yeah, we're going to say some things to point and to aim and to correct, but it will never be done in an abusive, beat your brains out way. He said, I'm being confident. Now, what does that mean? That means, he said, I know this in my core. I know, here's what I know. Talk about knowing what lies. This, all of what he is saying is based on what he knows regarding the end result. I know this, being confident of this very one thing, this very thing. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's the finish line. Keep it in sight. I am confident. I know what lies ahead. This other stuff, it's there. It's there. And we're going to have to thank him sometimes with a clenched jaw. We're going to have to thank him sometimes with saying, oh, I'm going to do it because you told me to do it. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it again because I made the vow to you. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to keep doing it. And we wake up one day, and the Lord will complete everything he started, the finish line. Yeah, there will always be the report card day. I hated that. The complete is the fun word, because in the report card, or in the stuff that need to be turned in to get the incomplete. A lot of potential, a lot of ability, but couldn't stick with the task. So the grade was incomplete. I want to be complete. Perhaps she's told me I didn't work hard enough. Perhaps. I think that's probably true. I think it's way true. Don't underestimate the power of work. Are you working on the word? Are you giving time to it? Are you lifting it? Are you eating it? Is it going down in your heart right now? The famous billionaire J. Paul Getty founded the Getty Oil Company in 1957. Fortune magazine named him the richest living American in 1957. In 1966, the Guinness Book of Records named him the world's richest private citizen at that time. You know what inflation, how it is now. But at that time, his worth was $1.2 billion. That's actually about $8 billion in money of today. Okay, that's how things have changed there. At death, His earning of that day was $6 billion, which in today would be about $22 billion. That's what he was worth when he died. They asked him, what's your formula for success? He said, rise early, work hard, strike oil. You want to do something? Rise early, work hard, strike oil. I'm just trying to be a good coach. So let me drill a little bit deeper with Paul for the next few minutes right now and pick up in that same passage. He said, because I want you to understand, and this ties these three messages in a nice little package for you. For I want you to understand what really matters. You got that? This is the New Living Translation. I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. That's what lies ahead. That pure, the blameless life. Well, if you knew me, I ain't pure and I ain't blameless. Ain't none of us, y'all, by the way. But it is that seeing our reaching toward him. And so he's saying in the meantime in verse 11, may you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation. The righteous character, notice that, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring, this is up ahead, this will bring much glory and praise to God. These are loving words. These are coaching words. These are words with an expectation of growth. This walk is a growing thing. It is implied and it is stated over and over. Not only is it implied, it is stated over and over. 1 Peter chapter 2 says it this way, talking about as newborn babies desire pure milk of the word. Why? That you may grow. That you may grow. You want to get to the days that you need to grow. Ephesians 4, he wrote this, that we should no longer be like little children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine. Stop right here. The church is filled with little children. They've got a candy gospel. Oh, gospel. You need that when you can't, but there comes a time where the diet has to change there. And the picture of being as children, to and fro, it's emotions, to and fro. It's a visually descriptive word. I used to drive a bus. We used to have a bus, and we'd go singing places and all that thing. And I would periodically have to drive the bus. And we'd go to different places and set up equipment and do our little things like that. And I found out one thing, that when you drive the bus, you don't turn the bus like you turn your Volkswagen Bug. You don't turn the corner like you're driving a Mustang. You don't do anything like that. You turn the corner kind of like this and slow, and it's got to be very easy when you turn the corner. Now, I'm driving. I know where I'm going. And however, because of the length of the vehicle, the people back there not only don't know, they don't know what to be ready for. Because there are a few times I remember having to turn really quick. And in my rearview mirror, I'd see bodies going like flying right across the back there. People flying on bunk. We had some bunks in the back. And there have been a couple times turning a corner real hard and some guy flying off the top bunk and hitting the screaming, what are you doing up there? You know, sorry, we're okay. He said, I want you to not be tossed about. There are people running around, Christianized people, that everything they hear, they're running around, the sky's going to fall. The sky's going to fall. It will fall one day, but you need to be ready. But everything coming down the pike ain't the word. That's why you need the word. That's why you need the wisdom. That's not why you need to be strong right now. I don't want you to be thrown to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, he said. By the trickery of men, in cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We're living in that right now. There is a deceitful craftiness that has been going on for many, many years. But even in the midst of that, you can speak the truth in love. And I want you, even in the midst of that, to grow up. Remember, I said not only was it implied, but it was actually spoken that we should grow into him who's the head. So what do we need on the checklist for what's ahead? We need a growing love, a growing sincerity in our heart, a growing excellence in our heart toward God, a growing resistance to the foolishness that comes against us, a growing crop of things in our lives that are producing things where God gets the glory. That's what the coach is going to say. And my New Testament coach said in Colossians 2, as you therefore have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk with him. Walk with him. How? As I said earlier, being rooted, being built up in him, established in faith as you have already been taught, and abounding with thanksgiving. This prepares you for what lies ahead. But he says, beware. They're shouting and praying in that first verse, but he says, beware. Remember, I'm a coach, he's saying, lest any of you cheat through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. You want to be able to face what lies, take those two or three verses and let them grow inside of you. Do you remember right there? Remember when we talked about these three things we're fighting against? We're fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. He speaks against that on every level, according to the principles of this world and not according to Christ. That's how we live today. For in him, Jesus Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. And as you keep going with the process and the progress, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power, these principles will propel you. These principles will promote you. These principles will protect you, but they will also process you. These principles will walk you through these things. Colossians 1, he said it earlier, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Are you ready? If you are, you're prepared for anything. You're not jumping up and down. But boy, you know what to do when things kick in. Sometimes I don't have an answer sometimes. So I have to go back to that safe place. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my future. It has everything to do with today. And these are the type of people that God is looking for. Now, as you walk out, you are coaches. I'm deputizing you. You are coaches. You can speak faith to somebody. You can speak encouragement to somebody. You can be that word and that light. The natural coach. How'd you lose all that weight? Well, let me talk to you about it. Why are you so happy? Let me talk to you about it. How come you're not pulling your hair out with everything? Let me talk to you about it. And some people, well, I don't know enough theology yet. You don't need a bunch of theology. Roy can help you with that if you need it. Here's what you got to say. I was once blind, but now I can see. God is looking for people. Let me say it this way. One of our favorite people on the planet went to heaven just a few months ago. He wrote the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Linda, hold it up. Hold it up. Just hold it up so I can see it. He was the editor of the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. That is probably the greatest study Bible out there. Jack Hayford said it this way, God is searching for people whose hearts desire him. Jack Hayford said that. Who desire him and desire his ways. A lot of people are desiring God. They want to be Christianized just enough to be put at ease temporarily. But there is a walk. By the way, the walk of righteousness can be seen. It needs to be committed to, but the walk of righteousness, I'm going to talk about righteousness a few weeks down the road. The walk of righteousness can be seen. It's not a condemnation. It's not an arrogance, but the righteous walk can be seen. I'm certain this is who he's looking for. This is what the coach tells us, and Jack was a great coach. God is searching for people whose hearts desire him and his ways. It's the heart that says, put me in, coach. I'm confident of this word that if you will do this, I know enough ahead that I understand what the results will be. You must continue it. You must be confident in it. This is a big deal. Everybody's smiling and grinning. I mean, every one of you believe in Jesus right now. But you're gonna face some things and you got to make a decision. Are you still confident in it? Well, I'm shaking a little bit. Well, so did people in the scripture. But they always went back. They touched that. Kids, we played hide and seek, and we had that one safe tree that we run. Well, you know what you got? You got a safe rock. You run to the rock. You run to the rock. Put your hands there, and you get back, get your brains back together. Slow yourself down a little bit and see what the word says. We must continue. We must be confident. And if we do, here's what lies up ahead. You will be complete in Jesus' name. And I will not be afraid. Though often this road gets rough and rocky, still I know what lies ahead.